Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Chen Amit, who is the founder and CEO of Tipalti. Hey, Chen, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about Tipalti. Tell me, what problem do you solve and for whom?
So we solve the payout problem at the companies, ad networks, affiliate networks, marketplaces, crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, anyone who needs to make a large amount of payments to their payees. So if you think of a marketplace that has buyers and sellers, the sellers need to receive their payments from the marketplace, and those sellers can be all over the world. And the marketplace encounters a set of challenges when managing those payments. And it starts with the workflow part of things, just knowing who you paid, when, what payment method, what succeeded, what failed, what information can you provide, who approved it. Just the workflow part is the first challenge. But the more significant challenge is that in different countries, different payment methods are optimal. So here in the US, we have ACH and PayPal, excellent payment methods. But when you cross the border outside, there are different payment methods. There are, like the ACH in the US, there are dozens of islands of ACH networks around the world. Tapping into them is very significant for our customers, as these are very low cost ways of affecting payments to the payees. In some countries, paper checks are the preferred method. In others, it would be a SWIFT wire message, a transfer, prepaid debit cards, Western Union, PayPal, other e-wallets. So you need to support a wide range of payment methods. And for some of those, the local regulations also pose yet another barrier. So let's say I want to send a wire to the US. It's simple. A SWIFT code and account number will get the money to the destination. If you want to send a wire to the UK, there's something called the SORT code, which is yet another code in the British system. In Russia, they want your tax ID. In China, your phone number and ID number. And in various countries, the regulations govern that you need to capture additional information, validate it, and incorporate it in the payment. And that's yet another burden on our customers. Then there is the compliance with the IRS requirements, or W-9, W-8, 1099, all those nice things. And then obviously AML and making OFAC and making sure that you're not sending payments to anyone who's a bad person. And then there are yet additional layers of complexities. So we take all of those complexities and solve them in a very, very efficient way.
So, Chen, it sounds like you take everyone else's headache and make it your headache. And it sounds to me like it's a big challenge. I mean, for you to be able to, as I understand it, accommodate every possible permutation of payout for every single country in the world, how did you do that?
Yeah, it is a challenge. And every time we hear about a new regulation or a new rule or a change in a method or an addition of a method, we feel for everyone who is not a customer of ours, but we know that there's value that we can bring to the table. And part of the way we work is that we are on top of things on a global scale, and we know that, you know, a new IBAN is introduced in that country and the new rule requires that, you know, we collect this bit of information in an additional country, and we add to our network of payment methods additional providers, and we invest in all of those good things so that our customers can benefit from all of those capabilities and we can abstract all of those capabilities from our customers so that the way they interact with us is really through one line of code in their environment. And we make it a significant part of our strategy that we take all of those complexities and make them very simple for our customers.
So, Chen, you talk about marketplaces. So a lot of marketplaces, though, have their own payment infrastructure. So I think of Alibaba and Alipay. I think of eBay and PayPal. Then there's WePay that is doing similar things, or at least I think similar things to what you describe. Are there differences between what you do and what these other marketplaces are doing to accomplish their payout problems?
So yeah, if you are on eBay and you have PayPal, then at least part of your challenge is solved. Obviously, many of our customers use PayPal, but you know, we can discuss some nuances about PayPal. But PayPal is loved as a low-value payment method. We have a large, you know, that large database of all the payments that are running through our system, and we see the average payment in PayPal is around $300 on average, while our average without PayPal is like $4,000. So people wow. love PayPal for some, for low value and in some countries, but do not like it if that's their source of revenue. If that's how they are getting paid for significant amounts, it's usually not through PayPal. But if you have PayPal with eBay or Alipay with Alibaba, then problem solved, maybe. But most marketplaces don't have a PayPal as a subsidiary, and they do need a comparable, or they do need a solution, and that's exactly where Tipaldi comes into play. All marketplaces need some solution. Developing the solution for a market that focuses on selling this or that, acquiring these customers and these payers and these pays and all of that, it's the payment side is usually not core competency, and it's much better for them to work with Tipaldi or someone like Tipaldi to solve that problem. As for WePay, and I think Braintree has some solution for marketplaces, and Stripe has some solution for marketplaces. These are all reliant on the card acquiring function and the card settlement function, and these are domestic. So if you operate a domestic marketplace, these could be good solutions for you. But if you think of an Odesk or Etsy or Airbnb, yep. where they're truly global, the domestic settlement solution, the card-based solutions provide, will not be sufficient for you.
So, Chen, how long have you guys been at this, and how did you get started?
So, we started just almost 4.5 years ago, and we were lucky enough that my co-founder was the chairman of an ad network called Infolinks. And the founder of that company reached out to my co-founder, Oren, and told him, look, we're being challenged with payments. I tried to find a solution. Could find one if you and your entrepreneur friend started a company, would have your first customer. Like that. And that's a true story, as we say. And he reached out to me. I just sold another company about a year earlier to Nokia. I didn't come from the payment space. I didn't come from the web domain, but we were close friends, and he, you know, trusted that I could take this challenge. And having the first customer before day zero was a great benefit for us.
Yeah,
immediately when we looked into whether this is a very specific challenge that this company has or more generic, literally the second prospect we kind of made a due diligence call with said the same. So we had two customers on day one, and we believe that this is a real challenge that many companies are going to encounter. And 4 years later, we definitely proved that.
But one of the things that is so hard about what you're doing is that it's not even the last mile. It's the last inch of being able to accommodate payout in local currency and in the method of payment that you described earlier on. Could be anything. It could be paper check. It could be prepaid debit. It could be, you know, directly into a bank account. How do you actually do that where others have struggled to actually do that?
So what we do in many of the cases is we partner with companies that have domestic capabilities. We are a layer on top of PayPal, prepaid debit cards, multiple providers of local bank remittances, multiple providers of wire remittances, providers of cash remittances, of check remittances. So we partner with multiple partners that with the whole ecosystem having capabilities to accept payments in all these payment methods, in all of these countries, in all of these currencies, in a compliant manner, a regulated manner. So we also ensure that everything is done in a proper way. And it's through all these partnerships that we're able to do that.
Got you. How do you guys make money? What's your business model?
The way our customers usually affect payment comes through Tipalti providing multiple payment methods, some of them expensive, some of them inexpensive. And by providing that to their PEs, they are able to also tell the PEs, look, we can affect the payment in a very a low-cost way or in a very expensive way. It's up to you, but you will bear the cost. So usually our customers will pass the cost of the transaction to the PE. They might take some of it on themselves. Maybe the low-cost transactions will be covered by our customer, and the more expensive transactions will be covered by the PEs. So that's first part of the business model is transaction fees. The second part of the business model is currency conversion fees. So if our customer affects payments in dollars and the PE selects to be paid in the local currency, we will convert at a fee, transparent and very communicated to the PE, so they know what they're paying for. And there is also a very basic monthly fee that we charge our customers, but it's a marginal for business. Bulk of the revenue comes from transaction and currency conversion fees.
It sounds like you also gather some pretty interesting data on the types of activity, certainly transaction amounts, but you know how businesses are conducting their businesses between the payer and payee. Have you thought about data as a currency of some kind?
Not really. So we have data, and sometimes it is interesting, like the stats about PayPal and prepaid debit cards and what people select in different countries. Interesting and exciting to see the insights you can get from this data. But we have a core business, we are growing that, we're investing a lot. There's so much growth. 2015 looks phenomenal for us, and we cannot allocate resources to something which is not core to us. And what's core to us is payment-related services, so financing and invoice processing and other things around and fraud, risk management. Data in itself is not in our horizon as a product.
Right. Well, it sounds like, though, it's helpful in defining your future product roadmap, though. Maybe not something you'll directly monetize, but indirectly through new products. Final question for you. So as I listen to you talk about what you do and the problems you solve and your ability with your network to really enable the flow of funds, every country, every currency regulated with the country provisions and regulatory constraints actually as part of what you have as compliance. So the Bitcoin protocol is what everyone says we need to do exactly what you do. How do you respond to people who say, but the Bitcoin protocol can do all of this cheaper, more efficiently, and faster? Do you agree?
My view of Bitcoin is that it's been around for, I don't know, 5 years. So a lot of excitement and hype about Bitcoin early on. There's still a lot of discussion about it, but if it was to fly high, it should have already. So I think Bitcoin will gradually, or digital currencies will gradually enter the system. Some people will select to be paid in those currencies, in those methods, some will not. So, you know, we accept payments anywhere between $2 and $2 million. Will me as a manager in a corporation opt to receive, you know, $100,000 in Bitcoin? I'm not sure if that would be the prime way to get paid. Again, I'm not sure if Bitcoin itself, because there's a question about regulation and know your customer and all of that, but the digital currency that will solve all the regulatory aspects will have to also overcome the trust aspect. And so there's a growth there. Eventually, you know, sending a wire is all digital. It costs more than Bitcoin. It takes longer than Bitcoin, but there's no reason why it shouldn't cost as much and take as little as Bitcoin does. So I think the jury is still out. It will be a gradual process, and the policy is all about providing the optimal payment method for the PE, or the selected payment method that the PE selects. Once Bitcoin is clears all the regulatory hurdles, we would probably add it to our portfolio, and it would be a portfolio. You'll be able to select whether you want to get paid in Bitcoin or in other methods.
Yeah, no, I think there's the currency piece of it, which I think from a transacting perspective, the data shows there's not a lot happening on the transaction side. People are buying it as they would a commodity, any other commodity, and hoping it increases in value. But it's the Rails, the protocol, that people think has the ability to streamline the way money moves between people around the world. And, you know, I scratch my head when I hear about what you're doing, for example, which is using the regulated Rails and software to efficiently enable payment anywhere in the world to anyone in the world, in whatever currency and method they prefer to use. So it makes for interesting discussion, though.
And, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of PEs and zero demand in Bitcoin. No, truly. You know, if there was any demand, we would have served it, right? It's our business.
Right.
There's zero demand. So I agree with you. Today, Bitcoin is more about as an investment vehicle than Bitcoin itself. Many investments going into companies around Bitcoin, but very little commerce.
Right. Well, Chen, it was really great to get to know you a little bit today and to get briefed on Topalti. We look forward to staying in touch. It sounds like 2015 is going to be a great year, and we'd love to check back to see what you're doing and where you're doing it and who you're doing it with. But thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.